today is quite odd, just for me in this setting. Jax, I don't know if you were able to get that picture or not. I want to show you. I've recently been, since my son is home and his name is Billy. My name has changed. Is Billy no hair, and he's Billy with hair. But that was actually me 14 years ago. Right there. It was pink in the back wall. You guys that have been around here for 14 years, you caused all this. But that was 14 years ago. And actually 14 years ago, I was starting a series on Nehemiah. I've told the story probably hundreds of times about the time when I was leading worship. I believe it was that Sunday, and I was crying, mainly because I was so angry that I picked up my life and moved here, and there were seven people in the audience. But it was the start. It was the start, and I'm glad to say we're not done yet. I'm glad to say we're right here, finishing up a series on Nehemiah and continuing the journey and continuing, and God's continuing to build brick by brick, whether it be burnt, whether it be broken, it's still coming together. And we've got a couple services and a fun ring here to celebrate even that today. I didn't recognize that even till this week while I was writing out some notes and while I was going back over Nehemiah. And so you're not going to hear a lot from me today, because today is kind of, I was even crying over in worship, just celebrating and seeing all you guys. I'm not going to cry. I'm getting old. That happens, I hear. But seeing you guys worship, seeing the dads lead their families even here this morning and walking in and hitting that Striker bell and winning that, whether it's the dad's root beer or the Mitchell's Mex gift cards or the Raising Cane's gift cards, you better hit that bell, right? Or just tag in one of the teenagers and make them do it for you. But make sure and get something out there. But today, there's a verse before I get off the stage that I want to share with us, because we've been on this journey, and we many of us know that the wall got rebuilt. But in Nehemiah 6, verses 15 and 16, and sorry I didn't get you guys screens on the opposite walls, so your neck might be hard today and turning a lot. But Nehemiah 6, 15 and 16 says, "So on October 2nd, the wall was finished." One of these days, I'm going to actually talk about Nehemiah and finish the series on October 2nd. But it says, "Just 52 days after we had begun, when our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. They realized this work had been done with the help of God." See, the wall was finished. The mission was accomplished. The project succeeded. The thing we've been talking about all the way since Mother's Day has finally come to pass. But the fact is, the wall was never the point. It was the legacy. Because legacy isn't what you leave to people. Legacy is what you leave in people. We may talk about Nehemiah and the wall, but really, it's not because of the wall. He was able to rebuild a nation, rebuild the people. He inspired families. He united a community. He left something behind that way outlived him, and it was more than just bricks and mortars. It was a legacy. Every one of us are currently leaving one each and every day with everybody that we have in contact with. Parents, you leave a legacy. Families, you leave a legacy. Churches leave a legacy in their community. Psalm 78:4 says, "We will not hide these truths from our children." Amen? Come on. We're not going to hide these things from our children. We are going to talk. Wow, it's a lot easier to read while you're up here. "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power, about his mighty wonders." See, a faith worth following becomes a legacy worth sharing. And today, I want to introduce you to to somebody that I'm just barely knowing right now. I'm getting to know, and we'll see where this comes, because Brian Smith, the owner of this BMFX, there we go, BMFX Wrestling that needed a place to train some wrestlers. I said, hey, Brian, what do you think about this for Father's Day? His buddy Steven, they were like itching to get back into Innovation Church. Can we do a show? This will be so much fun. I said, what about on Father's Day? So, because we always love to show fathers that they matter. And so today, Brian was able to help us track down. I was like, get me somebody awesome. Get me somebody with a story. Get me somebody with some strong faith that can share how God has moved in their life, that is leaving a legacy wherever they go. And he says, found somebody, Pastor. And so can you may know him, whether it's from WWE jumping off the ropes or seeing him on American Ninja Warrior. But what inspires me, I've been able to read his story and hear his story as we've talked about his story and advertised about him coming. What inspires me the most about what he's accomplished is what God has done in him and through him. And so, Innovation Church, can you give a loud, maybe even rowdy, welcome to Zach Gowan here at Innovation Church today.
Hello.
Awesome. You want to come
you,
in?
Pastor Billy.
You going to roll in or are you going to start out there?
I probably should have practiced this before I tried it for the first time live, man.
Very
Golly.
True.
This is not handicap accessible at all. Don't laugh at me. Don't make fun of me, please.
Take it up with Brian.
It wouldn't be the first time. I made it. Holy cow. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Zach Gowan. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. Thank you, Pastor Billy. Thank you for having me. I am so underqualified to be here talking with all of you, sharing my story. And I don't say that out of a level of fake modesty or humility. That's just the theme of my life. I've been underqualified my entire life. I've been underqualified to be a professional wrestler, yet I've been a professional wrestler for the past 24 years of my life. I was underqualified to climb a mountain. Yet me and 10 other amputees, that means there were 11 of us, 11 legs between all of us, dragged each other to the top of the Cayambe volcano in the country of Ecuador. I'm underqualified to be a motivational speaker, yet for the past 11 years, I've been able to travel this country and share a message of hope and plant seeds of inspiration and share biblical principles with over 100,000 parents, teachers, and students from all over this country. Certainly, thank you. Certainly underqualified to compete on American Ninja Warrior. Yet I got further than 50% of the competitors who are all able-bodied. I'm underqualified to be a husband, yet I've been with my wife for the past 19 years. I'm underqualified to be a father, yet I'm a proud father of four. Happy Father's Day to all the dads and the grandparents in here in this room right now within the sound of my voice. It's a very special day for me. The first thing I want to show you is a picture of me when I was 4 years old, a picture of me and my father. In the theme of Father's Day, irrefutable proof that at one point in my life, I was considered cute and nobody can take that away from me. And I'm going to take it. Unfortunately, this is the last picture that I have of my father. You see, I have a mean, mean disease that runs deep in my family tree called alcoholism and drug addiction, which prevented my father from being the father that he wanted to be to me. And it prevented my father from being the husband that he wanted to be to my mom. I was 4 years old the last time that I saw my father, except for one time when I was 19. At 8 years old, I sprained my left knee playing soccer at recess. And normally this isn't a big deal. It happens to all little boys who are very, very active. But for me, it was life-changing because over the course of the next 8 or 9 months, my leg would never heal. In fact, it got worse and worse and worse, and we couldn't figure out what was wrong with me until the doctors did a battery of tests. Test results came back and they were conclusive. The reason why I broke my leg in the first place and the reason why it never healed was because of a tumor growing on my left femur. At 8 years old, I was diagnosed with osteosarcoma, which is a rare form of pediatric bone cancer. And the fear was that the cancer was going to spread to the rest of my body. And if it does that, that's really, really, really bad news for me and for my mom. And so the doctors and the surgeon sat my mom down and said, listen, if you want to give Zach his best chance at seeing his 9th birthday, we recommend an amputation of the leg to literally cut it off at the source. And my mother, my superhero of a mom, had to make the toughest decision of her life. And I would argue that she made the right decision, because even though I lost my entire left leg to the battle of cancer at 8 years old, I feel like I won the war of life, because it's been 34 years and I'm cancer free and I'm healthy and I'm in the middle of a wrestling ring at Innovation Church with all of you today. Yeah, that's a blessing. So when I say I'm grateful to be here, there is levels to that. There is meaning behind that. There is gravity that goes deep within me that is foundational for my life. But growing up, I was different than everybody. I felt different. I looked different. Because of the way that I looked on the outside, I felt like there was something wrong with me on the inside. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that, but because of the way that I looked on the outside, I felt like there was something wrong with me on the inside. I felt defective. I felt ugly. I felt not good enough. But luckily, there was one thing that came into my life that changed the course of my life that really pulled me out of that. 2 weeks after my amputation, the doctors allowed me to go home from the hospital for the first time, and I was so grateful to get out of that hospital, even missing an entire limb. And as a welcome home gift, my grandmother ordered the 1992, I'm going to age myself here, Pastor Billy, the 1992 WWE Royal Rumble pay-per-view for me as a welcome home gift, because she knew that I was a huge wrestling fan. It was the best gift I could have ever received in that moment. Nothing better than watching Ric Flair, my personal hero, win his first WWE Heavyweight Championship. I got to see it live and in color and in person, and it was awesome. But more important than that, for those 3 hours that I watched that event, I did not think about the pain that I was in, the pain of having cancer, the pain of losing my leg, the anger that I had towards my father. All of that went away when I tapped into the magic of professional wrestling. Can you tell I'm passionate about professional wrestling a little bit? This will explain everything. It'll all come together, I promise you. I love wrestling so much that when people ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I tell them all the exact same thing. I'd say, when I grow up, I'm going to be the world's first one-legged WWE superstar, period. And that is the response that I got from everybody when I told them that that was what I was going to do. Thank God for my mom. I want to say happy Father's Day to the moms who are trying their best to wear both hats as well, as a mother and a father. It's probably the most difficult job in the world. And thank God for my mom, and thank God for my community and the people around me who supported me, who believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. All of my victories in life are not the result of me or my talents or my abilities, because those are very limited. Those are so limited. They're the result of the people around me who have poured into me, the people who have believed in me, people who have picked me up when I've fallen down, because I've fallen down a lot, the people that wouldn't allow me to give up when I tried to give up, because there's so many times that I tried to give up. My victories are not mine. They are theirs. They are God's. They are theirs. They are God's. It's that simple. At 18 years old, I went to wrestling school. I was the best wrestling student that school had ever produced. And at 19 years old, I signed a 3-year contract with the WWE, effectively becoming the world's first one-legged WWE superstar. I was able to live out my dream as a real life on SmackDown. I debuted with Hulk Hogan. I was wrestling with Roddy Piper. I even got to wrestle with Ric Flair, my hero. I'm one of 5 wrestlers to wrestle Vince McMahon on a pay-per-view main event. I even wrestled Brock Lesnar. I even wrestled a guy by the name of John Cena. In the middle of a SmackDown ring. I kicked his butt, too. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Why am I lying at church right now? I did not kick John Cena's butt. Y'all need to pray for me, please. Oh, my goodness. I loved it. I was on top of the world. Imagine everything that you ever thought you ever needed or wanted just comes true overnight. I'm making money. I have attention. People are, I'm receiving their adoration. People are looking up to me. I'm able to travel the country working with my heroes. Yet that God-sized hole in me kept getting bigger and bigger. I was so confused because I got everything that I ever thought that I needed or wanted, yet I was as low as I'd ever been in my entire life. I didn't understand it. What I understand now is that I didn't have the spiritual foundation to support the tower of success that I was in. And if we're not good stewards of the gifts that God gives us, we're going to lose it. That's just the story of my life. That's a fact. And I wasn't a good steward because I didn't have that spiritual foundation. See, I was 16 years old the first time that I ever drank. And I never tried drugs. And it was the closest thing that I ever got to a spiritual experience. It was the closest that I ever got to filling that hole. And in that moment, I thought to myself, I will never, ever pass up another opportunity to feel like the way I feel like right as I do right now. But on the condition is that I'll never, ever, 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 ever be like my father. I'll never, ever, ever turn into my father. Yet I'm on television, traveling the world, working with my heroes, making money, attention, adoration. And the one thing that I turn to, the one thing that stops those voices in my head that tells me that I'm not good enough, the one thing that stops those voices in my head that tells me that they only hired me because they feel sorry for me. The one thing that stops those voices of the people are only there cheering me on and buying my merchandise because they feel sorry for me. It's the one thing that destroyed my family when I was 4 years old. And before I know it, my descent into addiction and alcoholism happened so fast. It happened so fast. And before I knew it, I turned exactly into my father. The one thing I said, I swore I would never, ever, ever, ever do. I get fired from WWE, publicly fired from my dream job. Gone. The money dries up. Adoration goes away. The attention's gone. I'm embarrassed. I'm full of shame. I'm full of hurt. And the one thing that I turn to isn't God, but it's the one thing that almost filled that hole for me. And it's the one thing that destroyed my family when I was 4 years old. Before I knew it, I'm 25 years old, and I'm living in one of the worst neighborhoods in Detroit, and I'm delivering pizzas to make quick cash to feed my habit. I'm robbed at gunpoint, not once, but twice. And I'm bankrupt. Not financially. Although I was financially bankrupt, for sure. I'm spiritually and morally bankrupt. I'm empty. I'm done. So my mother, my superhero of a mom, the hero maker, sits me down in her kitchen and she says, Zachary Mark. And you know it's serious when your mom uses your full first name and middle name? She said, Zachary Mark. She goes, what's the matter with you? Why do you keep doing this to yourself? She goes, I'm no dummy. I went through it with your father. I'm not going to go through it with you. But then she said the magic words to me that opened up the door of willingness within me to ask for help for the first time. And those magic words were, Zach, how can I help you? How can I help you? For whatever reason, that was the combination I needed to hear because I had an out-of-body experience. All of a sudden, I'm looking down on me talking to my mother. And the words, Mom, I'm scared, I don't know what to do, and I need help, pour out of my mouth. And as I'm looking down on me saying these words, I'm thinking to myself, Zach, shut up. Shut up. Because if you say these words, everything's going to change. Even in that moment, Zach, shut up. Your life is going to change if these words pour out of your mouth. And I said, Mom, I'm scared. I don't know what to do and I need help. That was on a Tuesday. On a Sunday, I was on an airplane to a treatment facility, drinking a Bloody Mary, and that was the last drink that I ever had. That was February 14, 2010. I just celebrated over 16 years of continuous sobriety. It's the best thing it's ever. Thank you. Everything that is good in my life is a direct result of my recovery. because I thought I went into recovery to stop drinking, but God, you know how God kind of tricks you into doing things? I thought I was just going to stop drinking and get on with my life, you know? But God's like, no, we're going to have a relationship, and you're going to be conscious of this, and you're going to rely on me, and you're going to follow me, and I'm going to give you a path, brother, and you are going to walk this path one day at a time. My second or third day in treatment, I open up the book called Alcoholics Anonymous, and in this book it says, it summarized up until what we read at that point. It said that that no human power could have relieved us of our alcoholism, but God could and would if he were sought. But God could and would if he were sought. And when I read these words, I closed the book, and I felt the Spirit fill the room. And for the first time in my life, I had a conscious contact with God, with the Spirit, and I felt whole, and I felt complete, and I felt safe, and I felt secure. And my thought in this moment was, oh, this is the God that everybody talks about. This is the God that people pray to. This is the God that people go to church for. This is real. Supernatural experience in that moment. My desire to use, to drink, to destroy my life is gone. Completely vanished. Over the past 16 years, through the application of the principles, I've been able to build a relationship with God the Father. With God the Father. Through the application of the principles, learn how to pray, learn how to be of service, learn how to help other people, learn how to be patient, learn what grace is, learn what forgiveness is. One day, I'm on the road, and I think I was on the road speaking, and I was in the hotel room, and I don't know what happened. I don't know if somebody sent me an email, or I got, or I saw it on a Facebook feed, but there was, I'm watching a video of a man preach, a pastor at a church, and he's preaching, and he is the best communicator I've ever seen in my life. See, it's a certain specific skill set to be able to be on stage and communicate a message, right? So I'm watching this man, and he's magical. I start taking notes at his ability to communicate a message. I'm like, oh, he's using this stage over here, and then he's walking over here, and then he's using his hands this way. Like, on the mechanics of his ability to talk, I'm taking notes on it. But all of a sudden, I hear the message that he's preaching about. And he's talking about Jesus, and he's talking about Jesus preaching to the masses at the lake with Simon Peter. We're all familiar with the story, right? Drop your nets. But it wasn't about drop your nets. It was, the crowd started gathering more and more and more and more, and Jesus needed Simon Peter's boat to step into the water to be able to get positioned so everybody could see and hear Jesus. And here's where the pastor got me. He said, Jesus didn't need Simon Peter's boat. Jesus, he could walk on water if he wanted to, if he wanted to create some space. You see what I'm saying? He could elevate himself, and he could make sure people hear him. And there were multiple boats on the side of the lake. Jesus didn't need Simon Peter's boat. He needed Simon Peter's willingness to say yes to him. And when he said that, I went, whoa! I go, what? That's relatable. That connected with me. I thought I was taking notes on this man's ability to communicate a message, yet I get hit with this, and I'm like, holy cow. So then I start attending this online service every single week, which allows me to get my first Bible, right? So then I'm like, gung-ho. I'm like, let's do this. I crack open the Bible, page 1, Genesis. I get to about page 1.5. I have no discipleship. There's no frame of reference for me. You see what I'm saying? I get to about 1.5, and I shut it. And I go, this is way. I go, I don't know what's going on in this Genesis thing, right? I don't know. A few months goes by, and then I find myself on a Friday night, 2-3 in the morning, in my bed, and I'm distraught, and I'm falling apart at the seams, and I'm sober, but things aren't going the way I wanted them to go. I didn't get a certain job. See, I think I know what's best for me, and I think I know. And this job, everything was lined up, and this was going to solve all my problems. My faith went into the world rather than into God, and I found myself in trouble, which is the story of my life. And I'm yelling at God, and I'm saying, God, what's going on? I go, I'm doing everything that you want me to do. I'm doing everything that you, I don't know if I'm the only one who's ever been in this position where I said to God, I go, God, listen, I'm holding up my end of the bargain here. Where are you? Where are you? I can't be the only one. All of a sudden, I hear a voice that did not originate in me, but it was clear as crystal, and that voice said this, Zach, you do not know what's best for you. You never have. You don't know now. You never will. Boom. That peace came over me once again. I fall asleep. Perfect peace. That revelation. Shortly after that, I'm in a 12-step recovery meeting, and this wild-eyed, disheveled young man bursts through the door, locks eyes with me, and starts beelining for me. Now, I was scared. So I don't know. I didn't know if I owed this dude money or if I had done something in my past. You see what I'm saying? He just came up and just gripped me up a little too strong. That weird, like he didn't know how to hug, you know? Kind of hurt my neck a little bit. And he looked at me in the eyes and he said, I knew you'd be here. And I went, oh, what is this? His name is Joshua. I got to know him. I've gotten to know him over the past 8 years. I helped, in part, get him sober, reestablish his life, a life of service. Joshua is now a pastor, and he has his own church in Chelsea, Michigan, called the Chelsea First Assemblies of God, and he married a great Christian girl, and he's building this beautiful life. And it's amazing to see the evolution from where he was to what he's doing now. And he was so excited that this is the first time I've ever been able to dive into my faith, share my story where I can dive into the why and the how and the what behind it. And so I'm leaning on Joshua, you know, and that's what it is. He helps me, I help him, man. It's a fellowship deal, you know. And he was so excited. And so I called Joshua up and I said, Joshua, I know you love Jesus, man, and I'm trying to figure this whole thing out. I cracked open the Bible. I got to page 1.5 in Genesis, but I closed it because I can't figure this thing out. And he said, Zach, he goes, start with the Gospels. He said, start with the Gospels. He goes, it's going to be kind of a spoiler. But that's okay. Just start with the Gospels and then you can kind of figure it out. And I took his direct. So then I read the Gospels and I go, oh my God. Again, that revelation, that oh my goodness moment, which is, this could have been written today. The way it describes society, the way it describes how to follow God, the way it describes how we should act. I go, this is before, during, and after. This is timeless here. I go, this is amazing. If this is real, if Jesus is real, if the story is real, if the redemption is real, then that is a God worth knowing better. That is a God. And it's the only way that this works, redemption through the blood of Christ. It's the only thing. So my spirituality started 16 years ago in a very broad and roomy sense. And God has been so kind and patient to me my entire life. He's put me on this path, and this path has become narrower and narrower and narrower. And now it's quite obvious that I've been walking with Jesus the entire time. And I'm so happy to share that with all of you today. Before I leave today, I want to show you, in the theme of Father's Day, I showed you that picture of the last time that I saw my father. And when I show it, it kind of makes me sad because I never had a chance to reconnect with him on this level. He never got better, and he passed away, sadly, a few years ago. And I always said that if God ever blesses me with children of my own, that they will never understand or encounter or endure the things that I saw when I was a kid. So I wanted to replace this picture with a picture of me and my kids. And then these are my three boys right there. My oldest son is Nolan, and he's going into high school next year. And my next son is Henry. Henry's 10 years old. And my third son is Diego, and everybody loves Diego. And a couple of years ago, our family got complete when my daughter was born, and her name is Quinny. And Quinn is perfect because she's a girl, and that's just how that works, or at least that's what my wife says. So I just keep it moving. And then this is my family. And the reason why this is my greatest victory is because by the application of these biblical principles, I'm able to provide a life for them that I never, ever knew. Where we start isn't where we end up through the power of God. My kids have never seen their father drunk. They've never seen their father be violent. They've never seen their dad be not there. Like, that's all I knew when I was their age. In other words, through the power of God. Our history does not have to be our destiny. Where we start doesn't have to be where we up. Life isn't about what happens. It's about how we respond to what happens. If our responses are rooted in faith, rooted in love, rooted in service, rooted in community, then there is a world out there that is indescribably wonderful. And it doesn't matter where we are, where we're from, what we've been through, what we've seen, there's still, if we're here, there's still an opportunity and there's still a path. I'm living proof of that. I don't have advanced degrees. I'm not an expert in anything. I'm underqualified for everything. Yet I'm living proof that God isn't done. God's work isn't done. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Zach. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here and sharing my story.